This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ain't this what you came for? Don't you wish you came more? Girl, what you playing for? Come on, come on, let me kiss that. Ooh, I know you miss that. What's wrong? Let me fix that. Twist that. Baby, tonight's the night I let you know. Baby, tonight's the night.
Come on, John.
We lose control. Baby, tonight, believe that. Okay. Tonight will be that. Yeah. Tonight I'll be the best you ever had. I don't want to brag. But I'll be.
Ha, ha, ha. That song always makes me think of Drew Shade. Shout out to Andrew Shade. Hey, Drew.
Oh, Drew, Running Man.
Running Man. Drew sung that song. We went to the Village Underground one night many years ago, and it is an open mic night in the Village on Sundays.
Yes, in the Village.
In the Village. And that's what Drew sung at the Village Underground. Baby, tonight,
I'll let you.
And I was like, go ahead and sing, Drew.
Yes. Let me tell you something. All I can think with that song is that would be crazy if John Legend was the best dick you ever had. I'm sorry. Can you imagine?
Don't like, you do imagine. John Stevens like that.
No, I'm not even trying. Like, I don't even mean no shade. Jennifer, I don't mean no shade.
Don't do John, you know, like that. Saying?
I don't mean no shade whatsoever. You know
I
what
don't
want
to brag.
You know, you like, you sweet, you cute. You know, I just imagine your roster and just like being like, you know, is the best dick I ever had? John fucking Legend, Cincinnati, Ohio. Crazy.
Like, that's a wild thing to say.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. Like,
wow. Like, whoa. You're giving yourself
like, can you
a
imagine
lot.
Be like, you know who blew my back out? Neo. Wild times.
What? Wait a second.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow, I told you that Neo won this season of Masked Singer.
Oh God!
And his character was an effeminate cow.
Well,
in a milkmaid costume, singing boots, singing down. But he said he played that role so that people wouldn't guess who he was. But
yeah,
because Nick Cannon was full. Nick Cannon was like, "Nah, that is not Neo acting like that." And it turned out to be. It was like, you see that? Y'all caught up in these gender roles out here.
See? And we're going to talk about that in the kitchen table talk because you niggas got it fucked up. But see? And that's why I say I could have it fucked up. Who? That's there's hilarious. Somebody out there who said, you know the best dick I ever had? John Legend. John Legend.
But I don't know why that is taking me out. But I just feel like I've always, just, every time, ever since I heard that song, I was just like, that is very wild to say to a person.
It's just with so many people it applies to. It's like, girl, I'm gonna tell you really who wore me out. Young Jock. Like, it's like,
It's going down. Meet me in the trap. You hear?
It went down.
What a time to be alive. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, niggas.
Welcome back to the kitchen table. We are just so grateful that you guys have joined us for just another round of chaos. We are filling our way through this ghetto, the worst hood we've ever endeavored to live in. That's adulthood. Mm. We're doing it together.
Mm. Yes, we are.
And I just couldn't be more grateful for all of y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining us again. How are you doing, sis?
You know, I'm well. I'm not going to complain. I've had a good week, had a good weekend, and we continued Tristan's birthday celebrations.
The festivities are still festivities.
They still birthday all month.
You know, the girls love to celebrate all month.
And you know what? Why not?
Because I endorse it. Yes, we deserve. It's hard to be alive out here.
This is a ghetto. This is a ghetto world.
Absolutely.
And so I'm very grateful to be able to celebrate my loved ones. And you know what? If you want to celebrate for 30 days out of, you know, of the month, then so be it. We're going to celebrate for 30 days. And so we went, we had dinner.
Lovely.
You know, got to celebrate with loved ones. And now we move on to new festivities and activities.
Oh, yes.
So, and I'm back in my organization bag. I'm back in a deep purge.
It does not take, you know, there's a cycle here.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
you have a very seasonal cycle to your purging.
I know.
I love that for you.
Specifically, this is a product purge. So all of the things where I'm like, I know that I've had this for far too long. I don't know when I bought this, so that's probably not the best thing to use for this. Like, pull the things out so you know what you have so that you're not buying
hair,
things.
Hair, makeup, all of that. Okay.
Yes, that. My makeup, I separated it.
Lovely.
Between my summer colors and my winter colors. Okay, so instead of trying to guess, because, you know, I'm always calling Nikki. Shout out to NL Makeup Plentiful. Yeah. The shades of jade. Okay. Shout out to you, Char, for bringing back the bisque, even though it was a smooth 6 to 7 years ago. We appreciate you and your reminders.
Okay. She said, yes, Jade. Aren't you bisque?
She's like, can't you speak to this? Beige rage.
As the light-skinned person on the call, would you please weigh in here? Thank you.
Like, sure. I rotate between a bisque, a Tahoe, a Syracuse. They didn't give me anything soulful Sienna. And earthy. Sienna, you know, a praline concealer with NARS. That's an all year girl.
Love that. Love that.
But I separate. So I was like, okay, now I can just grab what I need depending upon the season, how much sun I've gotten, you know, so forth. So I'm just, it's like more of like that. Get rid of the old things. You know, if you've been looking at, if every time I go to clean and I don't throw it away, but I haven't used it, I'm throwing it away. So that's the kind of purge I'm in this go round.
Love that. I need to do the same. I need to purge my closet real bad.
Oh, yeah. You very know, that's badly. My zhuzh.
Very, very bad. I need to have like a party. Invite some people to help me. I need emotional support. I need to get it together.
Sister, I will carry myself to DC.
I need help. I'm like, I just can't.
And I will get in your closet.
I can't. And be like,
sit on the bed. I'm getting ready to say, how long has it been since you've worn this? And then.
Yeah, I need help. I need support because I am embarrassed. I told you I get in the new closet. The people came to measure and do everything. And they were like, we'll give you a certain percentage off if you let us do a before picture. I was like, nah. No, thank you. I will forego the discount. No, absolutely not. No. I don't need y'all in my business like this. I don't.
I'll come help you.
Yes, I need help. I do need help.
I'll come help.
Keisha has done it for me, but that was many years ago. And Keisha is ruthless. She's like, no, No, no. She just wants to throw all my clothes away. And I'm just like, I just don't.
Keisha's Jamaican. And
can't do it.
And she's also just rude. And so the two
I do need
the two
I do
can
need help.
Be but we are not synonymous. So
we have to work that out because I just feel like I need support. And I've been saying that I was gonna do it myself, but I just haven't because I just know that I need somebody to help me do it and maybe we could get that done together.
You've got a Jade in your life for a reason. Okay.
Like, bring some of that purging energy down here because this I just be with all of my things, holding them all at one time. Like, it's
mine.
We're
going to carry ourselves down to the Costco. We're going to grab a box of clear recycling bags.
Okay.
And we're going to use those to bag things up, to donate
yes.
to where they need to go.
Yes. I need help.
And, oh, my God, it's about to be a tight. Y'all don't. We're going to vlog it,
Whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Accountability.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to vlog this. Jeez. So you see how I roped you into that before? Woo. I was Woo. Like, you told them no before picture. I said video. No.
They were like, I was like, there's got to be some other way. I was like, I cannot have y'all in here posting my closet in its current state.
No. And to they your were masses?
Like, yeah. And I was like, because my mama will be in a mall somewhere and she would be like, that's Kia's closet. I know. That is Takiya's closet. I know that. I know that is Takiya's closet. I know it. She would just find it. And I don't need that kind of stress in my life.
Well, but, I can only yeah. imagine the black and white photo that it paints. That is what I'm curious like, to see.
What? It's giving like hoarders, but no.
No, not hoarders.
Not quite hoarders, but not that far.
Like, where did
hoarders.
You get a cat? So. Well, that's what our new project is going to be. I'm going to come to DC and we're going to purge your closet.
Whoa! I'm
we're
sorry, Mama.
I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry. But tonight, I'm waiting in my closet.
Very good.
One more time! Okay. So, well, yes. We have a fantastic, fantastic kitchen table guest for you all. I think it is a beautiful and intentional way of starting the new year. And we had a really great conversation. And so I'm excited for us to deep dive. So open your mind. You know what I'm saying?
And learn something. Yeah.
Learn something. If you don't already know, if you're not hip, then get hip and yeah. You know what I'm saying? Get yourself educated. It's a different world,
yes.
Ooh, and where you come from, ooh, and where you come from. I think that's the perfect intro.
Sing Aretha, all right. Maybe, yes, okay.
Let's right. go to the kitchen table.
Let's do it. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Willkommen back to the kitchen table, ladies and gentlemen and thimtlemen and everybody else in between.
Thadies.
We have a very, thimtlemen and thadies, we have a very special guest in the house. Very special. Are we going into LL or are we going into, Now, I want to give you the intro that you deserve.
Of course.
Okay. Dr. John Paul Higgins. Excuse me. Dr. John Paul P. Higgins.
Yes.
Or P. Jonathan Can't P. Higgins. The P. I just fucked that all up. Is an award-winning educator, speaker, journalist, and media critic who examines the intersections of identity, gender, and race in entertainment. And Dr. John Paul is a trailblazer who's crafting the stories their ancestors didn't get to tell. Come on, somebody. Dr. Higgins is the director of strategic media and advocacy for Rainbow Pride Youth Alliance, and they've been a featured speaker for South by Southwest and TEDx, and most recently was the first queer black person to speak at Forbes Blick. That's how I'm calling it. Inaugural conference. You can also catch them on hit shows like Netflix Nailed It and Fuses Like a Girl. Dr. Higgins holds a doctorate in educational justice for University of Redlands, actively writing and lecturing on what liberation means for black, queer, fat, non-binary people. Dr. John Paul, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh, I feel so famous.
Oh girl, don't you dare.
All I did was These are your credits.
Okay. No, I just feel like I'm so used to it. Like y'all have no idea how much this show holds me on long drives. I'm always commuting in and out of LA. And so when I'm like, ooh, I gotta be on this freeway, I always hit the getting grown because I need that laugh as I'm darting into the city, honey. Welcome. And so it feels really good to be on the mic. Thank you for having me.
You know you have been a friend to the show.
Yes.
Go ahead. Sis.
No, we have been carrying on the social media for quite some time. Yeah. And so it's good to connect in space and learn more about you and the awesome work that you're doing. Know that are very proud of you. And this is a conversation that has been a long time coming. So again, welcome, and we're happy to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Let's start off for those of the people who are still coming to learn about you and your awesome work. Just introduce yourself to the kitchen table so that the people can know who is joining us on today.
So, you know, I will say that, you know, outside of my own podcast that I have, you know, I can't say a lot of the work and a lot of the conversations that have really started at the core of me being over at the Black Fat Femme podcast. But I will say that I have genuinely spent a lot of my life championing folks who look and live like me that oftentimes aren't given the resources and the support that they need. Right. So even my dissertation. Right. So I wrote my dissertation around the experiences of queer men of color in the first year of higher ed. But even then, I knew that I was still different. Like suits and ties never really worked for me. I was always looking at a sister's heel. I was always looking at someone's nails. And I was always saying, like, that felt like, you know, when I worked in higher ed, it felt like it was good for me to not be, you know, so traditionally, quote unquote, male. And so as I started doing my work in higher ed, which eventually I decided to leave, and I really started kind of doing a lot of stuff in the media spaces, and I was doing a lot of stuff in terms of podcasting and all of that, I was really trying to make a name and really create a lane and a space for non-binary, specifically trans non-binary folks like myself who are from areas and spaces where they oftentimes aren't given a voice. And so that's been predominantly a lot of my work is really championing specifically youth. I don't know if any of you know, but there have been a lot of reports that have been coming out in the last couple of years about black, specifically black, queer and non-binary and trans kids deciding to go. I'm gonna just say, you know, as frankly as I do, they deciding that they want to check out and go see Jesus, you know. And I feel like in my work, I'm trying to remind them, like, yes, we gonna get to the greater land, but not so fast. You know, there's something better for you here. And so that's what a lot of my work has really been centered on, really trying to remind queer people, trans people, black, queer, trans, fat people that they deserve a story. They deserve a voice. And that's really what I've tried to do.
I love that. We need the voices for advocacy. And I'm really glad that you're able to come on this platform, especially with Kia and I being two cisgendered mm-hmm. black women. You know, I think it's important that we elevate many marginalized identities as we are all facing the greater system of trash. So I want to start off with a very basic question first before we really get into the meats, because, you know, we have some we have a range of listeners here at Getting Grown, a range all the way up to our great aunties. And
I love to see it,
you know, I love the range that we have. But I do want to. OK, so, you know, there's a lot of ignorance and a lot of lack of education, especially around the queer community, especially as multiple identities that have not otherwise been put on platforms before,
right,
and exposed to the black community, or maybe they just act like it hasn't been exposed. But
right.
Can we kind of break down a little bit for our great aunties what some of this actually means, right? Because we know there's the basic respect of calling people what they want to be called, you know, and acknowledging and just respecting that right there. But can we break down a little bit more for maybe somebody who's like, I don't quite understand what non-binary means? Can we talk about that a little bit?
We sure can. You know, so I always like to tell people, you know, there are a lot of resources out there. And oftentimes people will always say, just go to Google. You can Google it. And it's like, no, oftentimes it's not that simple, right? It's not that simple for someone to say, I'm going to go to Google and I'm going to go ahead and try to figure all of this out. Because a lot of this information, as much as it's not new, it is still very much in terms of like lexicons and folks being able to understand what words mean. You know, I know Crystal says all the time, words mean things. And so some of the things that oftentimes, you know, folks associate different words and different pieces of, I would like to say, the LGBTQ alphabet soup with different things. And so there are two, in my way, the way I've often broken it down when I do trainings, I always tell people, you know, gender, as much as it is a construct, it is something that we all adhere to, right? So oftentimes gender is what you believe yourself to have been born, right? And so with you being cisgender, you can say, I'm a woman. I was born into a woman's body. That is exactly how, you know, again, however you believe, that's how God made me. Okay, that's fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. For folks like myself, I can say, yes, I'm still cisgender. Yes, I'm male. Yes, I present as male to people. Mm-hmm. But there's a little bit of, you know, in the word they say, you know, I'm a little, you know, fragrant. I'm a little more, you know, a little bit more.
What did Kiki Palmer say?
More, yeah. Yeah, just give it a little bit of extra, right? I'm a little bit more fragrant in the way I carry like myself that. In this world. And so that's where the non-binary comes in, right? So this idea that, yes, I see myself as a male. Yes, I am in a male body, but I don't present as male. I don't adhere to the construct of masculinity or maleness. And it's not to say that I'm not in touch with it, right? If I need to, I always tell people, you know, people oftentimes think that I'm soft, but I'm like, girl, I was raised in Compton.
Period.
You can try it if you want to, right? You can try it if you want to. But I say all of that to say, like, that's what non-binary is when you look at a construct and you say, maybe that's not for me. I'm a little bit outside of that, or I decided that I don't really adhere to what society wants me to be. Now, when we start talking about trans, because I think folks oftentimes get non-binary and trans as, you know, confused. I personally, because again, everyone has their own perception of how they identify and how they see the world.
Absolutely.
I will say, before I go into more explanation, I think the best way to have these conversations is to just ask people, how do you identify? You know, I had a lady last night, I was standing in line for something last night, and she was like, real quick, I just want to make sure, like, how do you identify? And I was like, thank you for asking how I identify, because it wasn't offensive. It was, you want to respect me. You want to understand me. You want to know my story. I appreciate when people do that. But I say all of that to say, you know, trans, I always tell people, in my opinion, trans is an experience, whether it be related to gender, whether it be to sexuality, whether it be through the walk of life. I've known people who said, I didn't identify, you know, with being trans until maybe a year ago. Right. I was non-binary. And then I decided that I was trans because, you know, this experience led me to understand it. And so I think, again, it really comes down to experiences. And I think often, times in our community, we conflate gender and sexuality as being the same thing, and it's not. Sexuality is oftentimes who you're attracted to, who you want to spend your life with, who you want to build a life with. And then there are people who don't really see their gender or their sexuality as separate. I know for me, I do. Mm-hmm. But I say all of that to say that I think that there's this piece of us being too afraid to give people the agency to tell us how they want to be treated. And I think that's the big conversation we need to have. What you believe to be true about someone else, throw that out the window these days, because people will tell you who they are and what they identify as. So
absolutely. I love that you framed it that way, mm-hmm. because I think, you know, a lot of the conversation, especially we have on this show, is around, you know, having negotiating and broaching mm-hmm. intergenerational mm-hmm. conversations. Those of us who mm-hmm. are trying to educate parents or children, or yeah. Just trying to just expose and raise awareness about sort of mm-hmm. some of the complexities of identity, and also helping people to sort of understand that there is freedom of self-expression and, mm-hmm. like you said, respect and acknowledging how people choose to identify themselves.
Yep.
And I know in sort of having conversations with older people in my family, I struggle at that particular sort of intersection, right? Because people often feel like projecting what they believe on somebody else mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is, you know, that really has nothing to do with any of this, right? This is mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. this is about respecting how someone would prefer that you engage them mm-hmm. As it relates to mm-hmm. themselves, right? Mm-hmm. How yeah. you know, whatever yeah. Across all identity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are the impediments to the conversation? Mm-hmm. What are the things that are holding us back from really understanding that it is not about projecting one's beliefs on somebody else, mm-hmm. but more mm-hmm. about encouraging all of us to embrace and really take hold mm-hmm. of freedom in a real way.
Yeah. So, you know, I've done various presentations and I've done various, you know, conferences, and I've talked about this in so many different facets. And I said, the easiest way for me to break it down to people about why this is so important, I said, you know, growing up, I would always say I was never a fan of kitten heels. I was never a fan of wedges. I've never been like my belief is
speak my language.
You are amongst
like,
friends.
My thing is that,
okay.
yes,
okay,
yes.
You're
I am
family.
That girl that's going to always say like, when like there's no, like either do a flat or do a heel.
I mean,
there's no
gonna
in between.
Do it,
right?
Period.
If you're going to do it.
Right,
then
do a flap.
What is this purgatory of shoe you're wearing?
Right, I don't need you. I don't want you in a kitten heel. Now, and then that's the thing. I may whisper that to myself. Ooh, them kitten heels are disgusting. But the problem that I have is when I actually start to do stuff to impress that belief on other people, right?
Right?
When I start to make their mm-hmm. life complicated mm-hmm. because they're opting to wear a kitten heel. Yes. And maybe there might be a part of me that says, okay, well, this person's probably in a kitten heel because they probably can't do a heel. That's fine, right? Mm. I personally don't agree that kitten heels are cute, but I understand the necessity of them, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a larger conversation around all of this, right? And this idea of we are all, and this is kind of what I always bring it back to, we are all raised and taught and we learn our own belief systems, right? And I know that there's so many people who says, well, I don't believe this because it's not my religion. Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But just because you don't believe it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the truth,
right?
And there are so many things we all believe, right? I don't believe hummus is good, but does that mean that it's not good to other people?
Every time this, it stresses me out.
I know it stresses you out, Jay. You got to know
Yes, I get it. You don't like hummus. Right. It's a texture
Keep
thing.
Your chickpeas, okay? I don't care nothing about them.
But it's the same way that people say that they don't like, what's the other one that people put onto cilantro? I've heard friends say that, mm-hmm. you know, fish and seafood tastes like soap to them. Like, we all have our things. Mm-hmm, and so I just, mm-hmm. I'm in the mindset of we've got to let people, regardless of how they identify, we've got to let people live.
Yes. Yeah,
like
true.
Our ways of seeing the world is not the only way of seeing the world. Right. And I think that that's the thing that's mm-hmm. so important in this conversation too, is really understanding that a lot of these systems, as much, you know, I always tell people too, because folks will oftentimes say, well, I don't see it that way. I don't see, okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But baby, you got to know that all these systems are still working to come after all of
us,
right? They are still, whether you believe it true or not, right? The same way that homophobia impacts me, the same way that transphobia impacts impacts me is the same way that racism impacts all of us. Mm-hmm. And so you have to really understand that all of these systems work together to keep us oppressed. And so that's what I feel like the bigger part of my calling has been, mm-hmm. has been to say like, oh, okay, wait a second. I get it. I understand. Like I tell people all the time, my mom is a Jehovah's Witness, but at the end of the day, it's still about respect. Right. I respect that you're Jehovah's exactly. Witness. You keep that over there. Right. And I am a spiritualist over right. here. And we love each other past what we believe to be true. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we have to mm-hmm. learn to do, because at the end of the day, you know, regardless of how you identify or how you feel about certain identities in people, the reality is that we are all literally on the chopping block. Mm. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that you said that like that. And I think it's beautiful to use an analogy. We can cackle and kiki about hitting mm-hmm. heels and hummus, but I think it's a great analogy to use something mm-hmm. that causes dissension between people, but is just a preference, right? Or
right,
you
right.
know, or even a taste. Like this does not taste good to me. You know, mm-hmm. it may taste good to you, but it does not taste good to me. And I think that's a
correct.
Great analogy to help somebody on a really simple basis learn how to respect the identity of others, as crazy yeah. as that sounds.
No, and it's just like, we should not be mistreated on the basis of our differences. Mm-hmm. No, we should not, absolutely. Like, you know, the ways in which, you know, how you feel, you don't want anyone to disrespect you or mistreat you or take mm-hmm. anything away from you because of who you are and what you believe. I feel like
right.
why
right.
we should be extending that same grace, courtesy, respect in order absolutely. To receive it. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask mm-hmm. if you could talk a little bit more about your transition out of higher education. Because, you know, just for my own curiosity, but just, yeah. I think one of the things we love to say on Getting Grown is, you know, the life is a journey. Where you start really doesn't always have to have bearing on where you finish, and you're learning as you go. So talk a little bit mm-hmm. about, you know, mm-hmm. your decision making and mm-hmm. how it's gotten you to where you are.
Yeah, man. So I want to be clear, you know, I think I don't know their name off the top of my head, but I think specifically it would be to have this platform and to not talk about it. And before I go into my own story I'd be remiss if I didn't. So I do want to acknowledge that, you know, the scholar who recently passed away, who unalived themselves, that story is very similar to my story in a
Dr.
lot of
Candia.
Ways.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for naming mm-hmm. her. You know, I always tell people I was kind of pushed out mm-hmm. of student affairs or higher education, but I always have to like after hearing her story, mm-hmm. I had to tell myself, oh, wait a second, girl, you were bullied Kandia out of higher education. Yeah. And so that story is very, very public. If y'all want to go for years ago, I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. But now I've you know what, I'm very comfortable in, you know, where I sit in my life. And so it's a part of my journey. It's not my full journey. Mm. So I'll say this. I started as an RA, as an RA. I was the girl running around telling people what to do and not to do on campus. Mm-hmm. And right before I graduated, someone pulled me to the side and said, you would make a really good student affairs professional. And I said, great. You know, I went, took a couple of classes, ended up landing a job, was working in residential life for 5 years, moved over into multicultural affairs, and then made the decision that I wanted to go up for a director's position. Mm-hmm. It's specifically in LGBTQ issues and things. Mm-hmm. Long story short, landed a role. The role wasn't for me. They pushed me out. And I kind of was in this way of life of saying, okay, am I going to let what happened to me silence me? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to continue to speak truth to power and continue to advocate for specifically a lot of college age youth who are, because that's where my ideation started. My ideation started in college, right? Mm-hmm. And so I opted to say, okay, well, I'll just do this on my own. You know, went to LLC Twitter, figured out how to start my own little LLC. And it just took off. And the more I kind of leaned into the speaking truth to power and kind of speaking about these issues that impact me as a Black, fat, queer, non-binary, you know, once poor, you know, asthmatic, all the different things, right? People started to follow me back and say, I really love the work that you're doing. And so with that being said, yeah, I've written a lot of articles about the tenets between, you know, the oppression that we see both in not only education, but also in media. I talk very openly about this idea that oftentimes education is not safe for us. And even with having a doctorate, right? I'm getting more conversations. People are pulling me into these more these days of what it means to be Black and to have a doctorate. Because I'm sure you probably feel this too, Kia. I find that people respond to me interestingly or respond to me with a different energy once they find out that they have to say doctor before they say John. And it's interesting. And so all that to say that, you know, I'm just very much in this mind that a lot of my beliefs is, you know, we are not given, like I said, resources. We're not giving the support. We're not necessarily being led, quote unquote, to the promised land like we've been told in a lot of ways. And I find it to be that my calling is to make sure that other folks who are in education, folks who are scholars, folks who are, you know, media critics, whatever you want to call it, know that there's someone like myself out here that's going to help them with whatever they're wanting to attain. So, yeah, that's just a little bit about me.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I have a question. You touched on it earlier. You talked about the giant umbrella of oppression that we are all under as Black as Black women, as queer Black people, as queer people, as, you know, you could break that down and put all the bullet points in the dashes. So how do we begin to create space for addressing issues in these marginalized communities with, I'll call it activism fatigue, right? For lack of a better term. How do we draw issues to each individual issue that we are doing without with us all fighting this greater system of oppression so that it doesn't get exhausted and it doesn't get muddled and each thing gets what it's supposed to get? Because we need to talk, you know, we're going to talk about it in a little bit more about our queer youth, especially our trans youth, who have been greatly affected overall over time, but especially since the pandemic with houselessness and, like you said, unaliving and so forth and so on. So, yes. Can you speak to what I just asked?
No. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm processing it. And I think, you know, I don't want to just have a quick response to this, because I think I always like to tell people this conversation is nuanced. And I always like to tell folks we have to start at it with this notion of it's nuanced intentionally, right? It's intentionally meant for us to be at this place where we go, how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we do this? Oh my God. And we also have to do that too, because the thing is that the more that these systems can keep us tired and the more that these systems can wear us out, the more these systems will work. Right. Yes. And that's the thing. People, oh, well, you know, there's so much oppression these days and oh my God, it seems worse. And I'm like, no, it's not worse. It's been here. You're just hearing about it more. Right. We all now have the language to be able to vocalize and speak up about the injustices that we see. So I say that first. The next thing I was thinking a lot about was you know, something that someone recently tapped me on the shoulder and said to me. They said, you know, you cannot feel like you're the only person that is doing this work, right? Like you can't wake up every day feeling like it's just you and you have to solve it, right? MLK couldn't do it alone, right? We saw it with the Walk to Selma. Malcolm X didn't do it alone. We saw it with the Black Panthers. You know, there's so many people, right? We see all of the stuff, the bus boycotts, right? You know, all of that in the 50s, it was all strategic. We just had Rustin come out, right? We saw what Rustin was doing with the wall. So there's all of these things. Like I always have to like kind of step back and remind myself and go and I say this a lot, in my darkest hour, I have to say, John, you're not by yourself. It may feel that way, right? Mm-hmm. And they feel that way because that's what oppression wants you to believe. Mm-hmm. But you are not alone in this. So to anyone who's listening to this, who feels, you know, racial battle fatigue, or is dealing with activism fatigue, or is dealing with just fatigue of life, child, gas is high.
Hello.
I so think eggs, milk, so groceries. Food, you know, groceries, baby, the way that DoorDash has stole a good $100 out of my account these last 2 weeks.
Hello.
Just stealing. The price of everything, just the price of life. That's what I've been saying. The price of life going these up. Days is just high. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's going up. And so I have to remind people, like, you can't feel like it's just you. Mm-hmm. I think to more to your point, Jade, I also think too, I think it is imperative for folks to zoom in on the things that they feel like that they can actually make a change in. Right. Mm-hmm. I used to be that girl for a very long time who felt like, well, I have to fix the industry. I have to fix education. I have to fix Black people. I have to fix queer people. And then there was just one day where I said, I can't do all that. Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna kill me. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think when you look at that list, you look at that bullet points and you see all of those things on that list. Right. You have to say, where can I devote my energy to? And when is that going to be enough? And so for me, it's the act of storytelling part. Right. I have my podcast. I write my articles. I go to Sundance and I queer and Black it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I go into these spaces and I allow myself to be just who I am. Mm-hmm. And I go home. Mm-hmm. And that is enough for me. And if people say, John, you should do more, I say, then pay me more. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I can only do as much as my soul is allotted to do. And on the days when I don't have it, that's OK, too. Right. Because yeah. even Jesus went away for 40 Hello. Days and 40 nights. Didn't he? He went away and said, y'all, that niggas. Killing 10 days.
Quietly and spoke to the Lord. That's what he did.
Do you know what I can do with a month enough. And 10 day vacation?
Mm-hmm. Hello, baby. Hello. Let me tell you. You ain't a month and 10 days. I just need 7. Yes. But I'm just saying, like, I always think about that, right? Like, as much as I'm not a super Bible person, I constantly even think, I go, Jesus was perfect and he still needed a break. Mm-hmm. So I go, I think about this a lot in a lot of my work. I go, John, you can't do it all because you have not been called to do it all. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people need to hear that, especially us Black folks, because I'll say too, it became even more real for me after it's just been a slew of them. So I can't even name it. You know, I think about certain things. So I just saw the Luther documentary, and Luther was 54 and when he passed. And I think about the man on Brooklyn Nine-Nine who died yeah. under 60. Yeah. And I think about a whole bunch of other Black folks who have not, specifically Black cis men who have not been able to see their 60s. And I have to keep, I've literally now woken up every day and told myself, you've got to slow down mm-hmm. because you are going to kill yourself mm-hmm. trying to do everything. You are not going to make it to over 60. Mm. And so that's now the way I move, where, like, you know, if something doesn't happen at before 5 o'clock, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to kill myself, you know, early. I'm not going to take myself out early over a system that has nothing to do with me. I didn't create this system. Yeah. I'm trying to survive in it.
Say that. Y'all know here on Getting Grown, we're all about honest and real conversations. You know, provoking thought. So here's an important one for you. If you have a family like I do, then you absolutely need to get term life insurance to protect them. It's truly one of the smartest decisions I've made for our family. The truth of the matter is, it's not a fun conversation to have, but what's more sobering is to think about our child being unprepared in the event of a timely or untimely passing. So if my goal is to set my daughter up for success, then I have to dot the I's and I have to cross the T's in all the areas. Fabric by Gerber Life was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget, with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. And it's all online and on your schedule. So there's no appointments, no scheduling, no piles of paperwork, nothing to add to the pile of life. Just apply when it's convenient for you. You can go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes. And did I mention with no health exam required? Okay. And Fabric has more than just life insurance. It's a one-stop shop that also has free digital wills, investment accounts that let you save for your kids' future, and the cherry on top, you could manage all of your family's finances right from your phone. Convenience at its finest. and your family's prepared for anything. There's no risk to apply. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/grown. That's meetfabric.com/grown. Let me spell it out for you. M-E-E-T, fabric.com/grown. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
So there are those of us who want to learn more, want to raise our awareness. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about identifying the things that you can do to help, if I'm a person that mm-hmm. wants to start or wants to start to identify where in my life I can make changes to contribute to a larger change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you suggest we go about that? Right. Because I think sometimes this is a function of a larger conversation about privileged mm-hmm. identities, even though some of us may be, you know, we're still negotiating marginalized identities, you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. even within that, though, the way that identity mm-hmm. is structured, there are some identities that privileges some in spaces where others are not privileged. And so can you talk a little bit about that concept of privilege and what are the implications for that as we start to think about ways that we can start to contribute to helping?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, and I say this, you know, not because people know I'm real shady at times. I'm trying to watch my words. But what I will say is, you know, I think going to gay clubs and taking up queer spaces is not the way. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to just go to a gay club and I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to have a good time. And that's how I support the community. And I'm like, nah, no, sis, you. Yes. But also, I'm going to need you to do something else. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about, right, is, you know, and I've tweeted about this and I've had people respond, you know, a lot of us have so many things and thoughts and all of these different belief systems around trans people, and we don't know any trans people, mm-hmm. right? You have yep. so much to say about queer people, queer, you know, non-binary people, trans people, but you don't know any of them personally. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first place, right? It's not to necessarily go out and be in gross and grimy with that whole notion of like, I have to have a trans friend. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that white people like to, I have a black friend. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is are you actively making, like, for instance, I think this is a great way. Are you actively at work looking around and saying, wait a second, there are no trans people who are hired here.
How can
there are no non-binary people who are open, who are openly non-binary here. What can I do at work to make sure that trans and non-binary people feel comfortable if they were opt to come work here, right? Like, that's the kind of stuff that we need. We need people who are actively in spaces that are saying, some of this feels not right, mm-hmm. and it doesn't feel welcoming. Like, what are we doing to welcome folks up? I think the other thing, too, is to actively do what, you know, you might be doing right now. Listen to podcasts with non-binary people and trans people. There are tons of podcasts and shows and YouTube things and little bits and stuff that are out there that you can find if you just put in trans media, trans content. I think listening to trans/media is a great start, mm-hmm. right? They have a lot of information on the plight of what trans people are going through over there.
Absolutely.
So there's that. But I think lastly, I think the one thing that folks can do kind of to just start is to not be afraid of messing up. Mm-hmm. And I think so many people think that they have to be Beyonce on their first try of supporting the queer community. And I'm like, baby, you don't, it's okay.
Well, you don't want to get out here and say the wrong thing and get canceled.
You
the girls
definitely
will fry
don't.
You like catfish in
canceled,
August.
Though. Get Hello. Canceled. I say get canceled because that means you're trying.
Okay.
That means you're trying. Because I know so many people, well, I got to do it right. I don't want to get canceled. Baby, get canceled. If you genuinely in your heart want to do what's right for us in the community, say it. I don't know this. I'll say this, Jade, you are a perfect example of that.
Thank you.
No, you really are. I listen to the show. I listen to both your shows every week. And you will say, there are things that you'll say and you'll go, wait a second. I don't want to piss nobody off.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact term.
Please forgive me.
So let me, please jump in my DMs and tell me if I'm fucking
Educate
up. Right?
Yes.
I, educate me, right? We are all, like, again, we are not perfect beings. And so for me as a queer person to expect a cishet person who's probably never, specifically like people in the South, y'all probably ain't never seen nobody who looked like me or never interacted with anybody like me. So how are you supposed to know how to treat me, right? Mm-hmm. So my thing is you got to give grace to get a little bit of grace. But the reality of the matter is that you still got to try. Yeah. And there are a lot of people who are very complacent with, well, so, you know, out of sight, out of mind, none of this impacts me, so I'm good. And I'm going, girl, they'll come for you in the night just like they'll come for me in the morning.
Hello, okay. Say that loud.
Yeah. Please. Yes.
They'll knock on your door.
Got
too,
to be doing something. Hello. They will take you out. They are plotting to take you out. Mm-hmm. They are setting the stage to take you out. And I want to say this. I don't want to get too super, you know, rah-rah on my social justice, but that's who I is. As much as folks may look at this conversation and go, oh, here we go, another trans conversation, I'm going, baby, they are setting the platform with trans people to come after Black women, to come after Black people, to come after women, to come after you as a, they are literally setting the stage. So if you turn a blind eye to this conversation, you cannot be upset when they come after you.
It's absolutely,
and that's to all conversations of oppression, right? Which is why, for instance, I was talking, I think I was talking to Kia recently, where I was like, there's plenty of Black people who are like, why the fuck should I give a fuck about Palestine? And it's like, do you understand how all of these systems of oppression are linked to where it could, if it's happening there, it can most certainly happen here. This is why you need to give a fuck about all of these things. And that's why I wanted to talk about trying to break down how we, so I think that was beautifully said. And you've been doing a beautiful job, Dr. John Paul. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, just enlightening and educating in a way, you know, because we as Black people get tired of educating people about our plight and our struggle and the things that we deal with. But like you said, there has to be a certain level of like willingness to have a conversation and willingness to answer some things so that if somebody genuinely wants to try to be a decent person in society, you know, then they will be able to check into a conversation like this and say, okay, let me sit down and really listen and see what they're talking about.
Amen.
We know that there is a lot of attacks on trans youth, and it's happening from so many different directions. I remember when I was in junior high, there was a book I read called Go Ask Alice. And Go Ask Alice was a book about this young hippie white girl in the 60s and 70s who left her parents' house, got on LSD, got on acid, became a baby prostitute, was hitchhiking across America.
This is intense.
Wild shit, wild shit.
You know, read this Woodstock, book in school? That.
I read this book
it would
in
be
junior
banned now,
high,
by the way.
And got it from the library.
Okay.
And so I use that now to try to transition Dr. John Paul, because we know that there are book bans happening. We saw recently, specifically in Florida, they've banned certain editions of the Guinness Book of World Records, the Encyclopedia Britannica. But obviously, if they're doing that on such extreme levels, they're going to be banning queer books or books that appeal to queer youth. Can you speak a little bit more to that and some of the things that you have seen or experienced? And what's going on?
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of kind of like, you know, I know there's been so much conversation around The Color Purple, but I think about specifically this idea of, you know, Mr. not wanting Silly to read or to read the letters, please, to see the freedom that she had access to.
Or and James the ways Evans, that, sorry.
James Evans, yeah, Mr. Right. Mm-hmm. I think about it a lot in that sense of, you know, I always tell people, and this is something I kind of sit with, you know, why did slave owners not want their enslaved people to read, right? It was because, one, they didn't want them to have the words to be able to explain what was happening to them, but also, two, they knew that if they were able to read, that they would be able to get to freedom.
Yes.
And I think that was a lot of what we're seeing right now with these book bans, right? You're seeing queer folks like George M. Johnson put out books that are bestsellers around the queer black yes. experience. And these people are going, wait a second, I don't want my child reading this because of X, Y, and Z. And it's like, no, you don't want your child reading this because you don't want your child to feel valued or validated.
Exactly.
You don't want your child to be able to know that they actually matter, right? Mm. Like that they have the right to say, this is what's happened to me is an injustice and this is wrong and I need to get away from this, right? It's the same reason, I'll even say this for me, and I've talked very openly about this in terms of being a reformed Jehovah's Witness. You know, I always say, like, there's all of these things and expectations of what I could and couldn't, engage with in media. And I think a lot of that was because they did not want me to feel like, oh, well, if there's a, Andre Leon Talley out there, mm-hmm. then that means that I can be just like them, right? Mm-hmm. And so I say all of that to say that it's, again, going right back to the last point that I had, a lot of this is intentional. A lot of this is being done to keep folks silent. And what I mean by silent, it's not just about the idea of not being able to speak. It's this idea that if I don't know what happened behind me, mm-hmm. it's going to be very hard for me to have a blueprint of what's forward for me, right? Yep. And so I think that, I think it's imperative for folks who are listening and are in the mind of like, well, I don't know what to read or I don't know what to pick up for my kids. I always like to say too, them kids, they are already, as much as you try to keep Hello. Them kids away from them books and that information, they're going to still get to it.
Listen.
They still going to find it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, and you may have to cut this out. My mom, I don't want you watching Real Sex and all that. When I was a kid, I was still watching it. No. I was still on well, Max.
No need to cut that. That's everybody. Everybody well, no. was looking
I'm just
at
saying,
that
right?
scrambly ass, fuzzy no, ass channel. Try to see
the volume all the way down. And just like Madison said, T.S. Madison said when she was on Married to Medicine a couple of weeks ago, she was like, I grew up in a world where I didn't see nobody who looked like me on TV, but I still grew up to be me.
Hello.
I still grew up to be me.
Make it make sense, sis.
I still grew up.
The math ain't math.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right, you can still tell me every single Absolutely. Day, and that's the same thing people think. I'd be remiss to not say this too. I think people think, oh, well, seeing queer people on TV is going to make you queer. No, it's not.
It's not.
I could tell you right now. I know a lot of people. You could go talk to somebody who is queer and Amish, and they will tell you, I knew I was queer without ever meeting another queer
and
person.
Say it. Yes, I've never seen a TV. I've never seen one. I don't know.
I don't even know what electricity is, but I know I still like men. So hello, come on now, somebody, make it make sense.
No.
So I say all of that to say, like, that's what this is. It is a way of silencing people. It's a way of trying to control. And I think that's really too. The word is control. Yeah. If I can control the media that my youth are taking in, then it makes it easier for me to have the upper hand about how they feel about themselves, how they feel about themselves in the world, and if they even truly want to stay in this world.
Yeah.
And I think it's imperative for us as parents, specifically the parents who are listening that really support LGBTQ kids, find these books, give them access to it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the way my mom used to say it, my mom used to be very open with me, even with us being witnesses, she was really open with me about talking about certain things. She said, because I'd much rather you learn it from me than you learn it from the streets. And so I really urge parents who have, queer kids, trans kids, non-binary kids, whether you know how to have the conversation or not, have these conversations with your kids. Because I will say this, and I don't want it to sound like I'm creating stigma or that I'm pushing stigma, but I wish somebody would have set me down and said, baby, when you were in college, you don't have to do all of that, right? To find yourself. You don't have to go out there and do that to find yourself. Find yourself right here.
Yeah.
And so I really want parents to hear that. Like, it's imperative these times that if they're not learning it at school, you sit down and you teach it to them so that they don't learn it somewhere else.
Exposure and awareness.
Yeah.
All of these things are critical. And I think, a lot of people don't realize that if you don't have these conversations, fear and curiosity will teach your kids about what's going on in life. And that's not what you want.
Never worked.
That's never worked for anything. That does not lead to the outcomes that you hope for. And I think that goes across the board. It's not just in terms of sex and sexuality or gender or just anything like substance abuse. Alcohol, there's so much that we are, I mean, and I say this as a child who was sheltered. There was so much that I did not learn about the world and what the reality of the world until I was much, much older. And, you know, that has had its implications for how I move even as an adult. And so, I love that you're advocating for, and encouraging us to have conversations, to be curious, to ask questions, to seek information.
Yes.
Because that's the truth. Knowledge is power is not just a cliche from the 70s, y'all. That is real life. If we don't know, like they don't want us to know. That's why they are silencing and banning and eliminating and all of that, because we done messed around and got a little too woke for these white folks.
Okay.
And now they are free. Now they are trying to, you know, get us back. They're trying to get us back in place and aligned. So I love that. A lot of your work, Dr. John, is about creating courageous spaces for conversation, for curiosity, for exploration, about many of the intersections of identity, but particularly with queer and trans youth. So I know that you have a conference coming up, but talk a little bit more about the utility of these spaces. I know we use the term safe space, but you know, safe is a qualifier, right? There's lots of things in place to make a space safe. So it's really about fostering courage for people to be transparent and authentic in their lives. Talk about the spaces that you're creating.
Yeah. So I love that you mentioned courageous, because I think that's what I'm starting to lead with more these days. You know, Brave Spaces really, you know, was a thing the last few years. But even with Brave Spaces, right, you still worry about spaces not being safe for me to be brave. Right. Yep. I don't, you know, I don't want to have to do that. So being courageous is this idea of saying I'm going to show up as, in my authentic self. And however other people respond to it, that's what they got to deal with. And so that's what I really wanted. So, you know, when I was asked, so I'll say this, I worked with Rainbow Pride Youth Alliance for 3.5 years, kind of in the background, especially around 2020 when all of the stuff was happening with George Floyd and all of the other movements that were happening. And so now in we got to the end of 2023. My supervisor, Benita Ramsey, love, shout out to them. They said, hey, I think you are a fantastic individual, I think, for where we live. So a lot of people don't know this, but I live in SoCal. There's not that great of a community for Black queer people in Southern California. There are Black queer people, but the community conversation pieces is not there. But specifically for youth, right? And I was one of those youth. And I always have to kind of, I always like to shout out the story, because I think it's important to know why Rainbow Pride Youth Alliance is such an important organization and why I even work with them. So when I came out at the age of 18 and my parents said, you can't stay here. Obviously, my parents were religious and they, you know, they had their reasons for asking me to leave because I was of age. I had a peer who said, hey, are you familiar with Rainbow Pride Youth Alliance and what they do? And I said, no. Rainbow Pride Youth Alliance not only took me in and made sure that I had food, but they also helped me find a place to live so that I could start classes at Cal State San Bernardino. Shout out Coyotes. And I say all that to say, 20 years later, I now work for them and doing kind of the same thing. I work for the org to make sure that youth, specifically Black youth, Black queer youth, don't go unserviced or unhoused or don't have the things that they need to be successful in life, right? To thrive. So that's really what this conference is. So, you know, fast forward, it's 2024. We're planning the Black Identity Development Youth Conference. This conference is the first of its kind. I call it the inaugural conference because while in SoCal, we've had conferences. I mean, even y'all were just here a couple of years ago for a identity conference, right? We talk about the Black woman experience. We talk about the Black male experience. We talk about the Black experience. We talk about, you know, the queer experience. But no one ever really says, let's talk about the intersections of Blackness and queerness at a conference, right? And that's exactly what this conference is. We have three tracks. And so the three tracks we have are for youth, which which are 14 to 17. That's our Tay. That's the age range we technically service. But we also have an 18 to 24 track, and that track was brought up because we had a sponsor come to us and say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we made sure that certain folks who are in that age range of college age range had money to be able to do what they need to do? And I was like, bet. Mm-hmm. So if you register for the B track, which is the 18 to 24 track, you can fill out the scholarship form and there's a chance that you take away $1,000. Mm-hmm. No questions asked. Ain't nobody clocking you. You don't have to tell us what you do with that $1,000. If you are 18 to 24, that $1,000 is yours. Mm-hmm. And then with our C track, that's the 25 plus. That's what we're kind of looking at as our community driven track, right? Those are the people that are working with the 18 to 24, the 14 to 17. That's the people who are providing other services. That's the Black woman who works for the city and says, you know, I see the kids, but I don't really know much about the community. All right, mm-hmm. come on to our conference. You can learn more about how you can help them, right? But overall, it is a very beautiful day of intentionally Black conversations, intentionally Black queer conversations. Mm-hmm. It's being opened by Hope Giselle and it's being closed by George M. Johnson. And so just very, very excited to be there. And I also want to shout out Dr. Tori M. Winston Cernan. They are offering up their space for us to do the conference. And then we have a youth, Brandelsa, who I had the pleasure of meeting and working with, who is also going to be speaking to the youth as well. So it's going to be a Black queer time. I tell people you don't have to be Black or queer to be there. Nice. You can be Black and just say, I want to show up to mm-hmm. just learn. Come mm-hmm. on down. Come on down. We got spots available.
I love that. And I love George M. Johnson. Their book is fantastic. And I pray that it does those youth who it's been banned within their schools and so forth, that they at least have the support at home of parents who can purchase a book like that.
Baby, I pray that too.
I do. Yeah. I really do. Thank you so much, Dr. John Paul. This is such an important conversation. Listen, we not just Black in February.
Hello.
You not just good morning. You in June. So,
I'm not Black. Right. I'm not just Black or queer in these months, baby. You know, it's 24 hours a day.
So we have to, I think it's important that we have these conversations and we have them frequently and often. Because like we said, there is a chain link fence with under the umbrella of oppression. And so, you know, what do we look like oppressing others who are already oppressed? You know what I'm saying? We got to do better. So we really, really appreciate you coming and spending time.
Thank you for having me.
Sharing resources. Absolutely. And
you're always welcome.
And information. Always. Yay! Family to the show.
I'm gonna do a little G.
And please tell the people, because you do have your own podcast. So please let people know where they can find you on your platforms and so forth.
Yes. Well, you can find us both on YouTube and on the iHeartMedia. Okay. So we just launched our YouTube for our channel for our show. The show is called Black Fat Femme Podcast. It's me and my good girl, Jordan Daniels. We've been friends for like years. And when I got the chance to do this show, I immediately was like, Jordan has to be the person to do it with us. And so Jade and XD have been on the show in the past. And it was a key. We had fun. It was actually, I will say, it actually was our most listened to episode.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It is the episode that has gotten the most listened. So I will say that. But yes, you can find us over there. You can find me on all the social medias at Dr. John Paul. If you just put in, you know, John Paul, you will see me come up. I'm all over the internet. Somebody's white uncle don't like me for some reason or another. But you could definitely find me online if you look hard enough.
Somebody's white uncle hates me too. That's because they want to fuck me.
I welcome it. Because they may hate me, but I hate them down to the bank. Yes, God, doing something right.
You're doing something right. But no, thank you. Everything that Jay said. Yes. Thank you for all of your work. Thank you for all of the ways that you show up. And thank you for allowing, you know, you know, letting the kitchen table be a space of learning and conversation.
Absolutely.
And, you know, helping people to understand the ways that we might sort of, you know, raise our awareness and, you know, do something about the problems that that we're all trying to figure out. So you're welcome back anytime. It was a pleasure to meet you and see your face in real life.
Yes. Thank you.
And we will have the link to the conference.
Yes, in so
the
you can register
box,
and
so
attend. And is it going to be in Southern California as well, right?
It is in Southern California. Okay. However, we do have one person from Texas who's coming.
Okay.
So I have said, yes, there's one person from Houston who hit me and said, I really want to come to this. I think this is a fantastic thing. My school will send me. And I said, okay, if you want to come, feel free to register. Registration is free. I have to also make that known. Registration is free.
That matters.
Okay. So if you do sign up for, yes, baby, it does. If you do sign up for it, we do have spots. And if folks are in the SoCal area and they're like, yo, I live in LA or I live in, you know, Lancaster or I live in San Diego and I don't have transportation, but I really want to come. You can reach out to me by sending me an email or hitting me at the link. Everything is there. You can hit me and we can definitely make sure that if you're local, you can get there.
And is it will any aspect of this be virtual?
No, we will not be having any virtual aspects. I'm sorry, y'all. This is our first year, so we're trying to get...
No, it's all good.
Okay.
We just want to get all the information
in the future, we will.
So we can accurately inform the people as to how they can attend, because what you're doing is incredible. And this is something, it's even though this is the first year, this is definitely not going to be the last.
For sure.
And this is going to grow so many legs. And there's so many places where it's necessary. So
thank you.
We're going to have that information in the description box if you all are looking for it. And Dr. Jean-Paul, please come back. Please come back.
Thank you. Yeah, anytime. Anytime.
Proud of you and what you're doing.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see y'all for the next segment.
Okay. So listen, if you know anything about me, you know that I'm constantly thinking about and doing 1 million things. I also have developed a penchant for purchasing things online, subscribing to apps, you know, all kinds of things. And then a few weeks later, you know, I turn around and my bank account have all of these automatic withdrawals for all of these subscriptions that I done paid for and forgot about. And child, let me tell you something, I've got to go through and clean house for my sanity and for my financial stability. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spendings, and helps you lower your bills. Don't we all need that kind of help? I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, I can cancel it with a tap right there. I never have to get on the phone with customer service. They'll even try to get a refund for the last couple of months of wasted money, which is always a plus, and negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $722 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/grown. That's rocketmoney.com/grown. rocketmoney.com/grown.
I deserve.
It is time for the Black person self-care. And I just have to shout out, I know we talk about it often on this show, and I think we'll continue to talk about it. How important a community of good sister girlfriends is to have.
Correct.
And I am just blessed to have several pockets and one giant umbrella of village is what I like to call it, but several pockets within my village. And so I went this weekend to go. Santana's going to be leaving New York soon. And so and then we have a friend, Isamar, who is just a phenomenal artist. She makes macrame couture outfits. And giant, like, dream catcher macrame pieces with beautiful feathers. I'm talking like your giant wall in your house kind of zhuzh. She's just an artist of just an incredible caliber, and so we were modeling some new pieces for her. And so we were like, okay, we're going to use this as an excuse then for a gathering. And so Santana made some really delicious bites, a hearty soup. It was cold. It was rainy. It was nasty. It was just, it was all of that. Mm-hmm. And so she made a really nice soup and tostones with like a sardine compote on top and like a delicious.
A sardine crumble. Compote.
Oh, it's like a sardine, like medley with tomato and parsley okay. and onion and garlic. And then okay. the just like kind of chopped and minced all together on top of a crispy, garlicky, citrusy, bright fried tostone. Mm. And then she made a strawberry and cranberry weed crumble, baby, that we had with a ice cream.
Okay. Oh,
fantastic. We had it with crumble. A Ben and Jerry's because they're always on the right side of things, okay, politic-wise, ceasefire. And so we gathered and we had that, and then I made a basil pear sangria.
Hmm.
Sister.
Delicioso.
It was delicioso. And so, you know, I just... After we were done, we had good, hearty, you know, just good warming food, good comfort food. It was good company. And it was just lovely to be able to bask in the beauty and the intelligence and the humor and in the energy of Black women. Oh. And when I tell you, it just set the tone for my week. It was the perfect, cozy Sunday evening. We didn't leave too late, so I didn't get home all late. And I was like, I feel full. And I was like, I love that when I leave my villages, no matter who, whether it be you and the Nickies and Crystal mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Fran, or it's over here, when I leave these pockets and these spaces, I feel full. I feel fed. Yes. We did a stretching session. We were going to watch a movie, but we were like, how about everybody lead a stretch? And everybody led a stretch with the fire burning in the middle.
It was everything
we needed it to be. And so, yeah, I'm grateful for my sister friends. I'm grateful for all of you because you keep me full and you keep me fed.
We're grateful for you too, sister. You keep us full as well.
Thank you.
We very much appreciate you.
What you got? What took care of your soul and your spirit this week?
I have been also prioritizing sort of, you know, easing into the year as we've talked about and really sort of being diligent about reclaiming my weekends.
Yes.
And it really has been a game changer, making a huge difference. And really just being okay, you know, I think letting myself off the hook and really working on intentionally stopping self-shaming or feeling guilty for doing nothing. Because sometimes nothing is just Hello. What you need to do. Nothing Hello. At all. Nothing. I'm not doing anything. You
can't keep going forth if you're exhausted.
No. And so, yeah, it was a restful and restorative weekends. I had a good lunch with a mentor on Friday. And this sort of like a mix of, I know that's right, Black women self-care. I had my performance management conversation with my supervisor on Friday and got some really good feedback about my performance over the last year.
Okay.
You know, that I'm excelling and contributing and doing all of the things. And I got some good evidence that the goals that I set at the start of the year, I completed and, you know, sort of did well. And so I went on to there was a bracelet that I had been eyeing for a little while.
Okay.
And so after I decided to treat myself. And I went on and bought my bracelet as a gift to myself for
yes.
just doing well and just, you know, treat yourself, girl. I wonder if it's
the same bracelet that I want.
I don't have it on today, but I can show you.
VC?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Okay. But that one is on the list.
Okay. Okay.
That one is on the list. That one is on the list. I still have not yet pulled the trigger on that one just yet. But this one was one that I've been wanting for a little while. Okay. And I'll share what it was. But it was a kind of like a, I deserve nice things. And I was in the city. So I went on ahead. And, you know, it was just sort of like, if I'm just going to drive by and see. And it just happened to be a parking space right there at the store. And I was well, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying, Lord? I think you're saying,
could you say
that I
louder?
Need to shoot on in here and go on and get my things.
Copy, say less.
I said, let me just drive past. It was a Friday. I was like, child, I don't want to have to wait for no parking, blah, blah, blah. Something said, just go and ride past there and see, you know, what it's giving. I was only like, you know, it was like 10 minutes away from where I was at for lunch. And I was like, let me just shoot past here and see. It's on my way home.
And as it was meant to be.
So I was rolling past. I said, I know this is not a parking space right here. I would be remiss if I do not take this opportunity.
It's right here. It's all
it's
in front
right
of
here. I feel like you're saying what you're saying. And
Lord,
I must be obedient.
You don't have to say a word.
Exactly. It's written all over your face, God. Okay.
You don't have to say a word.
Just say a word.
Just buy that bracelet for you.
Yes. It's better than any bracelet I ever heard.
That you ever wore. Yes.
So that's my Black woman self-care. It is given, you know, if you want something and you got it, you just go ahead. If you got it, flaunt it. Boy, I know you want it.
That's my checkup there. That's my checkup on it.
But yes, that's my.
Well, I love that for you. I love that, and I can't wait to see your new bracelet. Mm. But it's time for us to get negative for a quick taste.
Let's do it.
So let's head on over to these petty peeves.
Sounds like a plan.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister. Because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
It's time for the petty peeves. And my petty peeve is not petty, but it is short. Mm. It's tax time. I started getting emails about tax preparation services and so forth. And I just want to say it's... I hate it always. But particularly while we are now on the fourth month of this war and this genocide, it really don't sit right with me getting tax emails and all of that and thinking about all of that and knowing exactly where this tax money is going, you know, and thinking about this funding genocide, not just war, but funding genocide, funding the complete obliteration of an entire people does not sit right in my spirit. And so I just, you know, want that to be clear. And that's my petty peeve this week.
I think that's sufficient.
Yeah.
My petty peeve is, so this is a thing. It's not to be one of those people who complains about the weather.
I'm sorry. Just don't do it on Yelp, but continue.
No, I won't do it on Yelp because, I mean, what? That's crazy town.
Sister, you'd be surprised.
So it is very, like, this global warming is a real thing. Mm. And, I mean, this weather is just manic. Literally, it was 70 when I got in my car on Friday to go to lunch with one of my mentors. The temperature in the car said 77 degrees. The Friday before, it was snowing to the extent that my class at the gym was canceled, right?
Thank you, Maya.
But, you know, it's just like,
I know in the winter, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's wild to sort of see the seasons just being whatever they want to be these days. And it's just an indication that, you know, things that we take for granted, we should start paying attention to because, you know, I know an unseasonably warm day in the winter in January is what, like 40 degrees?
Right. But this is what I'm saying. 70, 45 is like, what is going
70
on?
70 degrees is like
nuts.
Hey, guys, are we okay? I don't know. I don't know.
That's wild.
Pay attention. You know, if my dude I was on here, he would say, get right. Okay?
Cause before you get left.
Honey, he's coming again. But it was just like wowzers. Okay. Oh boy.
Sister, I was watching this. I showed XD this like Arctic page I watch on Instagram. And you know, the song, they be having this song that sings in the back, be like, heave ho, thieves and niggers. I swear it says niggers, but everybody told me it says beggars. But anyway, so apparently it's from Pirates of the Caribbean. But so, but I say all that to say, I saw this giant glacier just fall out of nowhere. And I said, we are doomed. Everybody's doomed. The thieves, the niggers, everybody's doomed. Heave ho, thieves and niggers.
Yo, okay.
I'm sorry. Oh,
yes, but I don't know. I don't, you know. The things that...
Pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention. Be mindful. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning bright.
God.
Honey. Oh, so yes, that I believe is an episode of Getting Grown. Thank you I want to extend thanks and gratitude to our amazing guest, Dr. John Paul, for all of the amazing work that they are doing on their podcast and in the community. Make sure that you're supporting the conference that's coming up, and really just, you know, holding space, being okay with what you are learning in real time, not being afraid to make mistakes. And that's the only way that we're going to get anywhere as it relates to, you know, freedom, liberation, change, transformation, all the things that, you know, we should be prioritizing. So thanks, Dr. John Paul. We love you so much, and you're welcome back anytime.
And make sure you all check out the description box for all of the information to the conference and all things where you can find Dr. John Paul as well.
For sure. And what was I going to say? Oh, make sure that you're sending your Honesty Box questions to the show to hello@gettinggrown.co. You can also, if you have a self-care or I know that's right, or just anything that you want to share with a Lady Yade and myself, that's how you can reach us. So go ahead and take us out, sis.
Yes, you want to make sure that you're hydrating by drinking water, hydrating all of your internals. It also flushes those toxins out your system. It's a very important thing. You can go without food longer than you can go without water. So make sure you're handling that. Yes. You also want to mind your business.
That's right.
Because
that's how
if you don't, you're in someone else's, which means there's something disgusting going on in your own home. And lastly, you want to make sure you are moisturizing in this February month.
My gosh.
Which even though it has been unseasonably up and down and the pendulum continues to swing, you want to moisturize. Why, sister?
Because your black will crack if it is a dry.
A toodaloo.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.